your praise be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. You will have your bride free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame.
That song we just sung is I shouldn't have done this. This song has meant so much to me over the past few months. And most of you guys are wondering why in the world I'm crying. Life has just gotten hard and big and busy. And 2 weeks ago, I had to, just felt God was telling me to put in my resignation for this position. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just not going to be in charge. God has some things for our family. Some of them are curveballs. Some of them we don't know. But this chorus, when I sing it at home, is I say, your praise will ever be my life. And sometimes that is really, really hard. This will always be home. Kurt does a lot better job of telling the congregation than I do. But I love you guys all so much. And when I compose myself, if you want to talk, please do. I would love to talk to you what's going on. And like I said, God is so big. And I just pray as we transition into the new chapter, you're still going to see me on stage from time to time and stuff. But I just pray that that's my legacy I leave. We don't worship necessarily always with our mouth. But with every breath we take, we give it back to God because he gave it to us in the first place. So let us keep praising him. Sing it.
Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my crowned with thorns. He is crowned with glory now. Savior nailed to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. One who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to Victory. that held us now gives way to hear his heartbeat, his final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. And in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Lord, we praise you for never giving up on us, for constantly making us more and more like you. But Lord, I pray and plead with you that our hearts are constantly seeking you, our lives are constantly seeking you. And Lord, I pray you give us the courage when you show us truth to live it out. Be with Pastor Kurt this morning as he just delivers your word. Let it mold us to be more like you. We love you and we praise your name. Amen.
It's been about 10 years, on and off a little bit, 10 years, and Trevor's been working a lot. It's hard to juggle two jobs, and he's working a lot and sleeping very little. So through the end of this month into September some, and we want to just pray for you and for us, and the Lord is faithful, and he will provide for your needs and for ours as well. But let's thank him again. Thank Trevor for his... Okay. We are in Proverbs, and I'm going to give a couple of you an opportunity to share one or two Proverbs that you really liked. Just again, about two or three of you. I'm going to read some that have been posted as we read. The Proverbs challenge is this, 31 chapters in 31 days. So if you haven't started, you can jump right now, chapter 13, finish the month with us. And the secondary challenge is not just to read it, apply it, and maybe post something on our Facebook. Here are a few posts, and then I'm going to give two or three of you an opportunity to say something favorite. Proverbs 13:3 was posted, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life." I also like Proverbs 13:20, "Who walks with wise men will be wise." That person's husband posted, "Yeah, that verse also stuck out to me. I oftentimes speak too quickly before thinking about the words that are coming out of my mouth." Anyone else in the room sometimes say things before we think about them? Proverbs has some advice. Another person out of chapter 11, verse 24, "One man gives freely, but gains even more." This person writes then, "Giving can be hard for me to do sometimes, but this verse is a great reminder to not just give, but give abundantly." And another one from chapter 9, "I wonder how different the world would be if we all sought to gain godly wisdom and knowledge and not other things the world teaches us to strive for. We'd all be so much wiser and richer, not just monetarily." How about just two or three of you? A favorite proverb from your reading. I didn't even say Psalms this week. Come on. Someone out there? right, thank you, Janice. Someone else? All right, thank you. One more. All right, thank you very much. Let us continue to read through Proverbs. Now, if you are reading, then you know that we have transitioned from the discourse Proverbs of chapters 1 through 9 and are moving now into those regular two-line, maybe three- or four-line Proverbs that are memorable, they're jumping around to a lot of different topics, which is different than chapters 1 through 9. Chapters 10 through the end, accumulated by Solomon, but not all written by him. Chapters 10 through 29, and then the last two by another person. Now, here's a word of advice for us as we read Proverbs. Proverbs is intended to give us a general rule, a focus, a big picture of what life could be like for us. So we view Proverbs as principles and probabilities. Proverbs are principles and probabilities. No, principles and probabilities. There we go. What that means is that it likely will happen to you. It is something that if you put this to practice, that it could turn out this way for you. We know that sometimes it doesn't turn out that way, however. So Proverbs we have to view as principles and probabilities, but not as promises and guarantees. There are promises in the Bible. We hear those. You know, Jesus is saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a promise. It's not like sometimes it might be true, may not be. This is a promise. Proverbs, however, in this wisdom literature, provides for us probabilities, guidelines for us in the way in which we ought to live. We know there are exceptions. Sometimes you'll read Proverbs and you go, that's not true for my family. That didn't turn out for my kids that way. Or, I am not sure who they're writing to. We know there are exceptions, which is why in the wisdom literature, we have Ecclesiastes and Job. Those books that follow Proverbs are these books that provide for us a framework for the exceptions of life, which we all know to be true. The key verse, however, that is repeated over and over again, 11 times plus, is Proverbs 1:7. This phrase, the fear of the Lord. Remember that from verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. This is a definition I'd like for you to think about as we hear fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is this. It's a healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. And true wisdom means learning those boundary lines and not crossing them. The fear of the Lord has this healthy sense and reverence for God. And it understands, when we are wise, that we understand our place in the universe. I don't know if anyone's told you this or not, or this is how you... if you've been living this way, but you are not the center of the universe. We're not. But our culture tends to cause us to move that way. You're the center of the universe, therefore, if you're the center of the universe, then you can create your own moral code. You can create your own definition of right and wrong, good or evil. Proverbs tells us this, and this idea of the fear of the Lord recognizes that we are not God and that we don't get to make up our own definitions of good and evil, right or wrong. Rather, we need to humble ourselves before God and embrace God's definition of right or wrong. Proverbs is pointing us to this. Embrace God's definition for right and wrong, good and evil. Not just in those topics recorded here in this collection of Proverbs, but throughout the scope of Scripture. Proverbs is not just good advice, but it's God's invitation for us to learn wisdom from previous generations. It's not just good advice. It's an opportunity, God's invitation to learn from previous generations. Now, this is where being a pastor in this church for a very long time has its benefits. For the last almost 25 years, I've been getting to know many, many people. And some of them have passed away. Others we're all getting older, but some don't even come to church anymore. They'd like to, but they can't. And in my job, I am privileged to know them and to visit with them and to hear story after story, many of which times I go, oh, I wish that everyone could hear that. Oh, I wish you knew of that guy or that woman who is full of wisdom. You have some of those go-to people, those people you look up to. We consider them as wise people. This week, we lost one of those wise individuals. Her name is Kay Bellinger. Kay is 93 years old when she met Jesus face to face. Her husband, Bill, is 96. And they were married 72 years. Kay had a significant impact in our community. She came into our community, became the school nurse. Many of you perhaps had her giving you a shot or something, or you know, helping you with an illness at school. For years and years, she was a school nurse. Kay loved this community and cared for kids. She was such an advocate for those who were marginalized and those who had needs and those who were vulnerable. And in a living room at a house with a group of some other people, it was Kay's idea to start Reach. We can do better for these kids. We can provide Christmas for some of them. And that first Christmas years and years ago, maybe a half a dozen Christmas boxes were filled and delivered. Today, our church fellowship hall is full of hundreds of boxes based upon this one woman's vision to care for the needs of people in our own community. It was Kay who championed those efforts, not just one year, but many years, and passed the baton to people like you and me. I invite you, actually, to join my family and me this year in memory of Kay in delivering one box to one person in this community. Through our efforts or efforts collected on your own. But more than that, what we discover about this woman of 93 years is that she was a devoted follower of Jesus, and she was an avid reader of God's Word. Up until the point where she grew blind, but had someone come and read the scriptures to her. A few months ago, during one of my visits with Kay, I asked her how she spent her day with Jesus, as she had shared about being there all alone, but God with her. She spoke about prayers, she spoke about the 23rd Psalm, and she sang for me her favorite hymn, In the Garden. I asked her then this question. When did you really come to know Jesus, Kay? And as she began to tell her story, I pulled out my phone and recorded it, knowing that it would be worth telling someday. I share with you Kay Bellinger's story of her journey towards Jesus and a heart deeply devoted to God.
There's two shots.
Go ahead and begin. Yeah, 108, I think. Good enough. Thank you.
Then I went to Nurses Training. And then I met Bill. And I, during that time, I was away from the Lord. And I came back to the Lord probably when we moved to North Manchester. It was the first time. I think it was on my mind, but I just didn't completely give myself over to the Lord like I should. I went to church in Walkerton. I took the children, and I was treasurer of our Sunday school class, so that I would make myself go, so I would be taking the children. I knew up here what I should do, but it just wasn't in here like I would like to have it. And it slowly wore me down. I knew that I was not living the life that I had been taught and that I knew. And that's when I gave myself fully to the Lord. And regretted the years that I did not follow him as I was taught to do. And he forgave me, and he took me back and took me in. And oh, how I love him. And why he would love me, I don't know. But he certainly has been with me through all these illnesses.
Amen. Kay began a journey towards her own forgiveness, and that journey of her own forgiveness led her on a journey of forgiveness for others as well. Years ago, she told me part of her story that I share now with you. Kay was born in Africa and developed malaria, and her parents brought her back to the States in order to care for her, hoping that she would improve. She did, but it was an improvement after a promise that her father had made that if she gained health, if she would take the bottle that night and get better and stronger, that he would return to Africa to be a missionary. That night, she got better. And so her parents loaded things up and left her behind and moved to Africa, leaving her with an aunt and uncle, the Smokers were their names, up in New Paris. She loved the Smokers, and they loved her as her own. She called them Mom and Dad. And the Smokers made her sit down each week, I think, and write her parents a letter over those years. When her parents returned, when she was six, she spent a little bit of time with them, and then they went back for their next term of missionary service. And when they came back, when she was 12 or 13 years old, her parents had noticed that Kay had so fondly become attached to this aunt and uncle. And jealousy welled up within her parents to the point that they removed Kay from the aunt and uncle's home and took her and her brother and put them in a boarding school states away and forbid any contact between the two. As you can imagine, that devastated her and the smokers. Bitterness and anger was born. She held this animosity towards her parents in a way that caused her over time to just say, I can never forgive them. I won't forgive them. She eventually came back to Indiana to stay with the smokers, but that seed of bitterness grew. In Philadelphia, while she was in nursing school, she says it finally erupted, and she shared her feelings with her parents, and it was ugly. She notes that the bitterness continued even after that eruption of emotions, and her children picked up on that, as they would. They, too, held animosity towards their real grandparents, and she noted at that point that she realizes that she contributed to their bitterness for them as well. All that changed in 1997 when Kay broke her hip. You know, she's like mid-70s, still holding on to hurts and bitterness and anger. When you read the Proverbs, you'll note what anger does. Over and over again, this anger, this unresolved issue, eats away at you. And Kay, in this time when she had this accident, she had a personal breakthrough through God's Word. Since she had a lot of time on her hand, she spent it with the Lord. She did love the Lord, but there was this one part that she had never dealt with. And she sensed God saying to her, "You have time now to deal with this. You have time now." She notes John 3:16, which was always familiar to her. It became alive to her. And she said, if God loved the world, it meant that he loved her, and that God loved the smokers, and that God loved her parents. And if he loved her parents, then he could help her love her parents too. So she determined to walk a journey of recovery, an emotional and relational recovery, a journey towards forgiveness, letting go of the bitterness that clearly impacted her and spilled over into her children and her grandchildren. She noted her own relationship with her husband was impacted. There was one time she told me, she goes, I lashed out at Bill, and he goes, "You're just like your dad." And she didn't like it, but she knew it was true. She had become the person that she despised. She was willing, however, to face those awful truths, and she began to forgive. Slowly, she began to allow God's Spirit to convict her, slowly to allow God's Spirit to change her. She admitted to me that it was hard, but it was something that she needed to do. She didn't want to end her life holding on to that bitterness and then come face to face with her parents and God like that. She needed to do something right now. One of the processes of forgiving for Kay was this. She didn't like missions, and she didn't like missionaries, naturally. She did a very good job of hiding that from so many. She even joined the Women's Missionary Society so she could be with her friends, but deep inside her, that was not a safe place or a happy place to be. She told me, "I have never given to missionary efforts." And then she was in a quandary. The smokers that she so deeply loved all those years had a great-grandson, David Immel, who was going to Peru for a six-month internship. How could she give to missions and honor the smokers? She sat down for the first time in 70 years and wrote a check so that David Immel could go to Peru, and in so doing, took a leap into forgiveness. I tell you this, Kay has accomplished a lot over the scope of her life here in our community. Devotion to the schools, reach and Christmas boxes, just to name a few, and the accolades for Kay, if you read her obituary in this week's paper, were many and long. But I tell you this, it is my opinion that this step of forgiveness was Kay's greatest life's accomplishment. This week you read Proverbs 10:12, and Proverbs 10:12 says this: hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. This idea that love covers something, do not interpret love covering these wrongs of Kay's parents being interpreted as it wasn't a big deal. You can just hide it under that, ignoring it, or it doesn't matter. It did matter. She was hurt. She was wounded. And some of you sitting here today know those feelings as well. And you too have been carrying them for a very long time. And you're a very good actor or actress with an ability to cover and hide but never address. Love covers all wrongs, Proverbs 10 doesn't mean it wasn't wrong. Kay eventually came to a point where she came to her parents face to face, and she didn't diminish the fact that they hurt her, but she communicated with them, "I forgive you." Another huge step in her forgiveness. This proverb tells us all wrong. All wrongs. Some related thoughts of Proverbs on forgiveness are these forgiveness proverbs. One, forgiveness is more satisfying than revenge. I know that they say sweet revenge, but forgiveness, now that is sweet. Number two, forgiveness is like spinach. You might not like the taste, but it's good for you. It can be hard to swallow, but it's good for you. It's good for you. Forgiveness is a continual process, and unforgiveness is a deteriorating one. What Kay realized is that her unforgiveness and the bitterness and the anger that was there under the surface was deteriorating her, and then thus deteriorating and spilling over into the lives of her children. It's a continual process. Jesus, when confronted with the question, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven times, Jesus? Is that enough? And Jesus' response is this, 70 times seven, which basically is saying, we need to continue to forgive. And sometimes the people that we forgive are the same people over and over again. And sometimes it's the same offense. Not that it's been repeated in our life, but it's been repeated here and here. And so we have to continue to seek forgiveness from that person in our hearts and in our minds. It's a continual process, but unforgiveness is deteriorating. This week you will read in Proverbs 17, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Oh, that love could prosper. Oh, that we would be the kinds of people that would be like Kay. Oh, that you could have really known her face to face over these years. To hear the story firsthand of a woman trapped in unforgiveness and set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. My favorite part of Kay's video is this, and oh, how I love him. Words of a person who know patience from the Father and grace through the Son and power through the Spirit. How about you? What is your next step on your journey of forgiveness? It may not be writing a missions check, and you may not even be able to speak with someone face to face, but perhaps there is something for you that God is nudging you towards to forgive. Let love cover all wrongs, and that love of Christ that enables us to do that. We love because He first loved us. We can forgive because He first forgave us. And I pray and pray that we have more and more Kays in this church and in this community who have a deep desire to make a public and communal impact, but a spiritual and relational impact as well. We lost a gem this week. I pray that more would rise up in their place. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have privileged us to know such a wonderful woman who endured great pain and pressed through to the point of freedom in the name of Jesus. I thank you that that freedom, the freedom from hatred, freedom from conflict, freedom from anger and bitterness and division is available also to us, and I pray that we would choose that. I thank you that love covers all wrongs. Your love on the cross. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that we love you. Oh, that you forgive us. We declare it this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me?